Good to see your smiling faces this morning, and good to be in the house of the Lord, and good to be saved. I do appreciate the Lord's mercy and grace. Appreciate Him giving us traveling mercy and grace, and allowing us to be here this morning. And if we've met you for the first time, this is the first time we've saw you in the service this morning, we're glad that you're here in the house of the Lord. I hope you've come to get something for your soul, and I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts and give us that we need this morning. And I know that if we'll look to Him, and that He is faithful. I'm glad He is. Can't talk much about my faithfulness, but I sure can talk about His. He is faithful, and I appreciate His faithfulness to me. I'm going to be reading this morning, if you have a Bible with you and want to follow along as I read the Scripture, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10, and I want to look at verse number 46. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10, and we'll begin reading with verse 46 and read the remaining part of the chapter. You that know the worth of prayer, I do ask you that you pray for us this morning, that the Lord would touch us, for without His anointing, without His touch on our lives, we're not able to do anything this morning. Realize there's just one preacher in the world. That's the blessed Holy Ghost. There's a lot of voices that God uses. The Bible said that's what John was. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. He supplied the voice, but God done the crying. And so that's what we need, is God to cry through us as preachers, ministers of the gospel. And so I do ask that you pray that the Lord would help us this morning. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46, if you found your place, if you are able, I'd invite you to stand with us this morning, and by standing we'll honor and reverence the reading of God's precious word. If you remain standing after we read these verses, then we will have prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, the Bible said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What will that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. Thank you for the good day that you've given us and the night as well. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the privilege to live in a nation that we enjoy the freedom that we enjoy this morning. Bless those and help those that are, Lord, defending and protecting us and our freedoms today. I pray your hand to be upon them. Thank you, dear Lord, that you have brought us to this point of time. And thank you, dear Lord, that this morning for this open door. And I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you preserve to this generation and the portion that you have directed my heart to this morning. And I pray now for just a few moments that you'd have mercy upon me and upon these people that await my words. Hide me in the cross. Let me lose sight of myself. Immerse my mind and my heart and my spirit in the word of God and in your will and ways. I pray for physical strength and spiritual power this morning that I might be able to preach the word of God this morning. Give us that wisdom and understanding that only comes from you, and give us that anointing that no man's able to preach without. May the word of God go forth from these lips of clay in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And Lord, would you prepare our hearts to receive it? Give famous hearing ears, receptive hearts, and obedient spirits. Would you awaken sinners to their need of you? Oh God, would you draw them with you? I tell you today with cords of love, may this be the hour, may this be the time that they realize, Lord, that they must, our Lord, turn to you, that they must be born again. And may they trust you today. May they turn in repentance and faith and find you precious in their life. Oh God, deal with the saints. Speak to our hearts. Don't leave us unchanged like we've come. But work effectually and mightily in and through each one of us. Revive us again. Draw us close to you. Help those that are far off to get right and to draw nigh to you. That one that's discouraged may they find encouragement. That one that's weak may they be strengthened. And oh God, may we leave here with a greater understanding of your will for our lives. May we leave here with a greater desire to accomplish your will and to live for you Lord, while we're in this world. Help us now. Again, strengthen us both physically and spiritually. But above everything, get glory to your worthy name and what you do in and through us and for us. I'll bow down with a head and praise you for every bit of it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing this morning. In verse number 48 this morning, we read that the Bible said, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. If the Lord will permit me this morning and allow me to preach, that's what I want to talk to you about. When the Bible said they wanted Bartimaeus to hold his peace, I want to preach on holding your peace this morning. Holding your peace. That phrase is used several times in the Bible. The phrase would have us to understand that it means to keep silent. It means to refrain from speaking or talking. Hold your peace. Actually, I guess in our southern language, it just simply means shut up. Don't say anything. And hold your peace. The old preachers that I heard preach when I first began preaching, first got saved, those old preachers, and most of them are gone to glory tonight. But that's been, this morning, that's been quite a number of years ago that I started preaching. And many of them would say, you're living in the quietest world you'll ever live in. For if you go to heaven, there's going to be rejoicing and praising the Lord. We read in the book of the Revelation, and all through there it seems it's a constant praising the Lord. And he is worthy to be praised. And that heavenly scene lets us know that that is the main occupation of what we'll be occupied with, is praising the Lamb that is worthy. If you don't go to heaven and the only other alternative is hell, then my friend, it'll not be quiet. For the Bible said it's a place of weeping and gnashing, wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of torment. And my friend, their cry, their torment ascends up, the Bible says, forever and forever. And so it is true that it is the quietest world that we'll ever live in. Oh, hear me, friend, there's a world clamoring, especially to the church, especially to the child of God, especially to the saints and the believer, to hold your peace. Oh, tonight, this morning, there's many, my friend, that if they had their way, they would silence the preaching. They'd silence the church, my friend, from proclaiming the Word of God and the gospel. Many in the social realm, some in the political realm, I would love to silence every man of God and every Bible believing church from preaching the Word of God. May I say, you may silence the messenger. You could do like Herod and cut, as he did, and cut John the Baptist's head off because you didn't like what he preached, but you can't stop the message.
because it'll be picked up somewhere else. Amen. Hold your peace. The world clamors for us to be quiet. Not only is it the political and the social world, but the religious world wants you to be quiet. Want you to hold your peace this morning. Can I say how the religious world don't even want sinners how to cry out, how to call out to a holy God this morning. There'll be a multitude of folks that'll attend some so-called worship place today, and they'll go through a form. They'll sit through something, my friend, of an act, my friend, something like a play or a performance, my friend, some of them will sit through something that they don't even understand what they're having to say or what's going on. But that's the way the religious world wants it. I want to tell you, friend, hey, God, to be saved this morning, you'll have to call or cry out to a holy God. Oh, God, help us this morning. The religious world, my friend, doesn't want sinners to call out or to cry out, my friend, to a holy God. But that's the only way that you can ever be saved this morning. I want us to look, if you will, this morning at three places in the Scripture where, my friend, it talks about holding your peace. And can I say to you this morning, here is what happens or what will happen if we hold our peace. Oh, God, help us. First of all, in the book of Esther this morning, we find in chapter number 4 that Esther is the queen. Esther, this stepdaughter, if you'll have it, of Mordecai. Hey, God, that he's raised like his own daughter. She's been orphaned, hey, God, and he takes her in, my friend, and raises her, though both of them are in captivity. Both of them are under the Mede and Persian Empire. He raises this young girl, my friend, thank God, until she, like all the other young and fair virgins, my friend, in the provinces of Ahasuerus, the Mede and Persian king, are called in so he can crown a new queen. He crowns Esther, this girl that started out as an orphan. But now, my friend, God, no doubt, in his providence, has put her in this place in the palace. She's been there, my friend, for 5 years, my friend, in the palace. She's the queen. She knows the etiquette of the court. She knows how to conduct herself. But one day, my friend, as some of the maidens and the chamberlains pass through the king's gate, out of the city into the palace, they say to Miss Esther, your stepfather, the one that raised you, Mordecai, he is on the outside of the king's gate and is sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And she said, well, I wonder what's going on. And she sends a messenger to offer Mordecai some clothes so he can get out of the sackcloth and ashes and change into a different apparel. Mordecai refuses the apparel. And when they, my friend, the chamberlain comes back and says, Miss Esther, Mordecai, I won't accept a change of garment. He won't get out of sackcloth and ashes. She said, well, then go and ask him what it is and why it is. What's going on? Why is it he's in sackcloth and ashes? And this chamberlain by name is Hatak. And Hatak comes to Mordecai and asks him what's going on. Mordecai gives him a copy of the decree that's been signed, my friend, by the king, that Haman, his right-hand man, had given money unto the king's treasury to have all the Jews killed. And so, amen, here comes Hatak back out of Miss Esther with this copy, thank God, of this decree that's been signed, and says, on top of this, Miss Esther, Mordecai, I want you to go in and to petition the king and see if you can't get the decree signed, for if it's not changed, us Jews are going to die. That's the message, and it's done, this decree priest hasn't been delivered in all the provinces, and we're set to die. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. Hey, God, isn't it amazing? Here's Esther. Isn't it amazing? She's the queen. Isn't it amazing? The king has signed the decree against her own people, and she's not aware of it. Here she is, living in the same palace with the king. Here she is, unaware of what's going on. Oh, hear me, friend. Isn't it amazing that many of us, I sit in a Baptist church and don't know what's going on this morning. She's so caught up in being the queen. She's so caught up in what goes on in the palace that she's lost sight of reality. I want to tell you, friend, no doubt God's providence put her here. But hear me, friend, there's something more to do than just seeing, my friend, how beautiful of a queen you can be, or how, my friend, expert you can become in court etiquette. And may I say to you this morning, there's something more important than how pretty the building is. I'm not against a beautiful building, but there's something more important than how soft the pews are and the color of the carpet and the temperature in the building. Hey, God, and how good the choir sings. There's something that we need to deal with, and that's reality. A decree has been signed. Satan is loose. God help us. And we need to put our head out of the sand. Hey, God, and realize that, my friend, that this nation's on a toboggan slide out of hell, and we're going at a breakneck speed, and we need all-time power, and we need the presence of God, and we need the king to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. Amen. And so he says, tell her, let's see if she'll go in and reason with the king. Make a request for her people. Make supplication unto the king. Amen. Literally petition him. That's what he said. And so Mordecai and Esther are talking back and forth through this interpreter, through this chamberlain. And he goes back out and says, Miss Esther says it's been 30 days since the king called her in. It's been 30 days since the king invited her to the throne room. And you know the law of the Medes and Persians. If she goes in uninvited and the king does not stretch out to her the golden scepter, then it's instant death. Hey, God, she'll die. And Mordecai sends Hatak back and says to Miss Esther, he said, think not within thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Don't just think because you're the queen and live in the palace, you're going to escape when this thing happens, when the enemies of the Jews are allowed to rise up and slay us Jews. Don't think because you're in the king's house, you're going to escape. Here's the verse I want to get to this morning. Have you lost sight of what I'm trying to preach on? Hold in your peace. For he said, if thou altogether holdest thou peace at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise from another place. What happens if we hold our peace in petitioning the king? What will happen if we hold our peace in petitioning the king? Well, here's what Mordecai said. Deliverance and enlargement shall arise from another place. Amen. Thank God. Petitioning the king. Oh, whether you're 5 or 50, whether you've been saved 5 weeks, amen, or 75 years, every one of us have a hookup and a direct line to glory this morning. We have access. We have a right to the throne room of God. And I say to you this morning, thank God, if we hold our peace in petitioning the king, thank God, the sin revival, how to change the hearts of our loved ones and to reach out to and convict sinners. You hear me, friend? Hey, God, oh, if we hold our our peace and petition in the king, then thou shalt enlargement and deliverance arise from another place. I don't have to pray. I don't listen to me, friend. I know there's a woe if I've got a call, if I preach not the gospel. And I want to tell you, if I want to soft soak it and paddle easy, thank God, and take the easy way out until I get to the judgment seat. That's my privilege this morning. Thank God, if you don't want to petition or pray and seek the king, that's your privilege. If you as a body, a local assembly, I don't want to petition the king, that's your privilege. But I say to you, if you hold your peace, a deliverance and enlargement will come from some other place. You don't want to preach, God will use somebody else. You don't want to testify, God will let somebody else. You don't want to work, God will let somebody else. You don't want to pray, God will let somebody else pray. Hallelujah. Oh, you hear me? If you don't want to be at a place that God uses to reach a lost world, he'll use somebody else. Hallelujah. I'm amazed at Mordecai. Here he is sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Here he is holding a copy of the king's decree that gives permission to the Jews' enemies to slay them. I got on the 14th day of that month, and he's staring in the face. He knows death is right around the corner. But he tells that chamberlain, you be sure and tell my sister, if she holds her peace, God's going to give us deliverance somewhere. God's going to give us deliverance through somebody. Hallelujah. That's faith, brother. Hallelujah. Facing certain death, sitting in sackcloth, but convinced that God was going to use somebody to bring deliverance. Hallelujah. Woo! God help us. And he will. Hallelujah. If you don't want to be used, and I don't want to be used, the God will use somebody. But he's going to get his work done. And sinners are going to be saved. Hallelujah. And things are going to be accomplished. Amen. If we want to hold our peace and let the church over the hill down the road, ain't God in the next town or county, have the glory of God. God will let them have it. Whoa. But he said, Esther, you've probably been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Why do you think we're here? Why do you think God's placed us in this position? Why do you think we're having revival? Why do you think God has saved us and brought us to this time? Oh, hallelujah. So we can petition the king. Hallelujah. But if we hold our peace and petitioning the king, then deliverance and enlargement will arise from another place. Is anybody listening to this preacher? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not talking about night-to-night prayers either. I'm not talking about casual praying. Amen. I'm talking about desperate praying. As a matter of fact, as the conversation continues and Mordecai convinces Esther she must go into the king, she says, I want to ask one favor of you, Mordecai. Get all the rest of the Jews you know in Shushan, where the palace was located. Get them all together and take the next 3 days and get in sackcloth and ashes for me. My maidens and I'll do the same. And she said, at the end of those 3 days, or on that third day, I'll go into the king. He hadn't invited me, but I'll go in. And if I perish, I perish. I want to tell you, her petition to the king became life and death. I'll tell you, when the decree will be changed and when God will do something for us, it's when our praying, when our petitioning, thank God, amen, and when our talking to God and our praying to God becomes life and death. As long as we can take it or leave it. As long as it don't matter where he does or don't, there's not going to be much change in us or in our kindred, our kind, or our community. riches. But let us get to the point of desperation. Let us get to the point that if God don't do it, it's certain death. And then our praying takes on a heavier weight. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing me this morning? You never read in the scripture where casual praying, where take it or leave it praying ever affected God or had a change in people's lives. But when it got to be life and death, when it got to be desperation, that was a change. Hallelujah. When it got with life and death with Elijah, God shut up heaven for 3.5 years. When he got desperate again, God sent the rain. Are y'all hearing me? When the early church in Acts chapter 12 had got in life and death situation, James is already dead and Herod's got Peter in prison and he's fixing to kill him too. But they have prayer meeting. Hey God, hallelujah. And my friend at a house and they get desperate and God brings Peter out of the prison and brings him to the prayer meeting. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know what it's going to take to get us desperate. I don't know what it's going to take to get us to that point. God help us. I don't look outside the palace and see that the decree's been signed that America's in trouble that our kindred and kin are going down without a hope and without help. And we need a holy God to intervene on our behalf. Are you going to hold your peace in petitioning the king? If you hold your peace, then there shall deliverance and enlargement arise from another place. I don't know what all God's going to do before he comes and gets us, but I want to be a candidate for it. And if I can't preach in a revival, if I'm not the preacher, the evangelist, amen, I like to sit in there and hold somebody's coat. The first time I seen Percy Ray, he'd already had his first stroke. And it left his speech somewhat slurred and his right side paralyzed. And when I saw him, he wasn't able to moderate or conduct the service. But he did sit on a platform and they did let him speak. And he drug that right leg and pulled along that right arm that was like a piece of dead wood. Stood in that pulpit and tried to talk to us with that slurred speech. And here's what he said. I may not be able to come to your church and preach, but he said I can sit on the front bench and pray. And I thought, my, isn't that wonderful? Amen. Oh, that somebody was willing to petition the king. You see, some folks are not willing if they're not in the limelight to do anything.
Right.
They're not in the public view. But what we need is not somebody, hey God, that can, my friend, be applauded again or praised again, but somebody that's willing to get in the closet and petition the king. It's a life or death situation. If we don't have a change of decree, it's a life and death situation for us as a people of God and a church. And it's a life and death situation for those that we're dealing with, our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, our kindred and kind. They're going down if somebody doesn't petition a king and get the power of God and conviction back in our churches again. Oh, but if you hold your peace, God will use somebody. Somebody said, I don't know if the Lord's listening or not. He is listening. You just let it get a life and death situation and see how quickly he starts intervening. Amen. When it gets beyond take it or leave it, it will affect. Can I hurriedly say, just as Esther said, though the king had not invited her in for 30 days, she said, I'll go in since it's my people that's about to die. And I'm about to die. And you, Mordecai. Now I'm glad to lay my life down if my people can be preserved. And true to her word, on that third day, according to the next chapter, she went in to petition the king. It is amazing that she chose the third day. It's amazing, I guess, but not really. It's true to form to the Word of God. For since the first mention of the third day, when Abraham is looking for that place where he can worship God and offer Isaac for a sacrifice, from that one, hallelujah, to the New Testament, when, thank God, after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, our Lord got up, there's something about that third day business. And that's how we petition the king. That's how we get into the throne room. That's what gives us access. That's what gives us the right. Hallelujah. Oh, he was delivered for our offenses, but he is raised again for our justification. He is our Savior on the tree. He is the good shepherd laying down his life, but he's the great shepherd when he got up and ascended into the heavens, and he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And we have a high priest that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How we can petition a king because of what took place on the third day. You going to hold your peace? Let somebody else pray. Let some other church pray. Or are you going to be the one this morning? If you hold your peace, enlargement's going to come. Deliverance is going to come. But it'll be from some other place. Somebody said, well, if it's going to come, let them do it. Let them do the hard work. Mordecai reminded Esther. He said, but I want to tell you something else. You and your father's house will be destroyed. Amen. Are you hearing me? When you take that attitude, you'll become spiritually destroyed. God help us this morning. We're here to do the work of the king. We're in here to do the bidding of the king. You say, he hadn't nudged me or pulled at me in quite a while. Why don't you go to petition him this morning? Hallelujah. Holding your peace. If you hold your peace, then deliverance and enlargement shall arrive from another place. Would you go with me for just a moment to Luke chapter 19 and look at another group of people that if they held their peace, what would happen? In Luke chapter 19, Jesus is making what we call his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's coming off the Mount of Olives, riding on that little donkey. That foal of an ass, the Bible calls it. It's that donkey that's untamed. Nobody's ever set on him. But Jesus needed him and set on him and rode into Jerusalem, down the Mount of Olives, across the brook Kidron, into the eastern gate of the gate called Beautiful. And when he started making that entry into Jerusalem, the people began to take off palm branches and lay them down in the street, take off their coats and lay them down in the street. Amen. And the Bible said, here's what they said. Thank God. And they began to rejoice and praise him with a loud voice, and said in verse 38, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the other gospel says, oh, but they cry, Hosanna! Thank God, which means save us. Amen. Oh, thank God, as they begin to rejoice and praise God, crying Hosanna, and blessed be the king that comes in the name of the Lord. A peace in the highest and glory. Thank God. And the Bible said those Pharisees started saying to Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Amen. In other words, tell them to hold their peace. Keep silent. Jesus said, I tell you that if these, my friend, hold their peace, the stones will immediately cry out. I want to tell you, if we hold our peace in petitioning, thank God the King, deliverance and enlargement arise from another place. If we hold our peace, thank God, in praising the King, then the stones will cry out. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we live in a quiet world. Amen. Thank God. And getting quieter in the spiritual realm. Are y'all listening to me? I know what I'm talking about. I wasn't born yesterday. Thank God, been preaching 36 years. And when I started preaching in the 70s, thank God, I still preach in churches that the granny women wore laced up shoes and bonnets to church. And not all of them, but a few of them still did. But brother, they'd shout and they'd testify and they'd sing and they'd worship God for about an hour half, and then beg you to preach till you got done. Hallelujah. And stay with you while you did it. We live in a day now, you can't hardly prime folks to worship. You can't hardly pump them long enough. Thank God. Hallelujah. They want to be entertained by a TBN preacher and a Bill Gaither video, when what we need is to get back to the old time power of God and worship in spirit and in truth. And there's nothing wrong with praising and rejoicing in Him who died for us. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Thank God. Amen. The only time you're fanatical in this generation is if you decide you want to have a spell for God and you want to holler glory. I run the aisle or hang from the chandelier. They say he's fanatic. She's a fanatic. Amen. Are y'all hearing me? I mean, you can go sub-zero weather. Amen. Paint yourself solid blue, solid red, or a two-tone color. Set out in the snow, sub-zero weather. Thank God. And holler to your horse and sick. Thank God about a zipped-up bag of air being run up and down a ball field. And folks say they're real fans. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Set on a hot July day. Thank God. While cars run around and around the track until one of them beats all the rest of them and 100,000 people and the biggest majority of them are drinking and are cussing. Thank God. And committing adultery and fornication while that's all going on. And talk about what a fan. But yet get to church and let somebody holler glory. I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm for Jesus. They say they're fanatical. Oh, they've lost their marbles. Honey, I want to tell you, He brought me out of darkness, put me in the light. He saved me from hell. He started me to heaven. He washed my sins in His own blood. He's my Savior, my shepherd, my best friend. I can't help it. I get excited about what He's done. I want to praise Him. I want to thank Him for what He's done in my life. Hallelujah. Woo!
Yes, sir.
I can't hold my peace.
Thank you, Lord.
It didn't start yesterday. And it didn't start because I come up here and preach for you. And it don't just happen when I'm before a congregation of people. At praising and hollering and sometimes riding in the car by myself. Woo! I have had it happen at Walmart in a steakhouse. All of a sudden, thank God, that well would go to bubbling and that river start flowing. I'd feel and hear a ka-chug, amen, or a boop, boop, boop inside of me. And I knew the joy bells was fixing to come. Hallelujah. And I just had to praise Him and worship Him for He saved me. I'm His and He's mine. Thank God. My name's written in heaven. I got a standing right to praise Him. Hallelujah. Don't tell me to hold my peace. I can't. Hallelujah. If I do, the rocks will cry out. Amen. Been quiet too long. been silent too long. We've held back too long. Somebody said, now preacher, I don't believe that bit as you can't help it. Well, I understand you can keep on grieving and quenching until you can stifle that Holy Ghost inside of you. But I learn when it comes, I don't. When He comes in mighty power, I don't want to help it. And when I let go and let God, I find out some good things that take place in me and in my life. Woo! And if there's one thing you need this week, it's real worship.
Yes, sir.
That'll change your week.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And if you could really worship out a day, it'd be better than you getting an extra dollar on the job next week. Amen. Or extra time off. If you could worship, it'd mean more. I've done a lot of material things. If you could just worship, hallelujah. I'm not talking about watching somebody worship. I'm not talking about sitting in the service while somebody else has a spell. I'm talking about you getting under the spout where the glory runs out. I'm talking about you losing sight of this world for a little while and getting focused in on heaven and going to rejoicing about the Savior. Thank God you worship and not somebody else. It'd make a difference in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, I wouldn't act like that. Well, you might not have to. But then again, you might have to be willing to if you worship. Hallelujah. Esther never showed her true colors. Esther never told what nationality she was. Esther never told what people she is of. Because Mordecai charged her not to. But he's saying, honey, it's time now to show your colors. Tell them who you are. Amen. Let them know, thank God, you was born a Jew. Hallelujah. Woo! It's time to let the world know, isn't it? Bless His name. Here's a sad report. Here's a sad report. This year, the very last two or three days of March, I was preaching in revival, some 30, a little over that, 45 minutes from the house. And I'd preached at this church years ago, several times. Been about a dozen years since I'd been there. That pastor left. They'd had two or three different pastors since that time. And I never had been back. But I'm telling you, 12 years ago, in that church, I've had some meetings that was unreal. Y'all got time for me to talk this morning, preach, right? Just a minute now. Hallelujah. One particular, I mean, there was several just outstanding, just unusual moves of God in that church. I was helping revival one year. It was day and night service. In the month of July, they have morning service and night service. And I'm telling you, God was meeting with us. And we got to the last night, and that Friday, between services, I was praying about what to preach and asking God, give me direction. And He laid something on my heart out of the book of Joshua, the last chapter, where it said, Joshua called together the 12 elders, one out of every tribe. And that's what God laid on my heart to preach. And we got in the service that night, and the choir got to sing, and folk got to testify, and they got to shout, and it got real and right around there. And things sort of got settled down. The preacher said, well, I believe it's time for the man of God to come preach. He said, but just before he does, I'm having a strange feeling. I don't know exactly what I'm feeling. He said, but I need to do something. And he said, Brother so-and-so, get you one of them folding chairs and bring it right here and sit right there. And Brother so-and-so, get you a folding chair and bring it right here. And I got sort of anxious, you know. And when he got through, he had 12 men sitting out in front of that pulpit on folding chairs. And I knew what I was going to preach, and I couldn't hardly read my text. Yes. Because I knew he didn't know what I was supposed to preach. And it had to be God doing all that. And I'm telling you, I got up and read that text, started preaching, and the Holy God of heaven just continued to move in that place. It come, as one of my old preacher friends said, it come unglued. Hallelujah. God just met with us in an unusual way. Now I was back at that same church. Here was a young couple had really been involved in that during that time frame, had a baby born just about that time. And I preached on Wednesday night.
about the glory department, and that young couple, along with all the other folks, come to the altar and prayed. And one night after service, both of them come to me weeping, and they said, "Preacher, our son, our 13, 14-year-old son, has never seen what we saw in those days." Oh, preacher, that's what they're praying about, is wanting to see it. I want to tell you, friend, it's important that we have the glory of God, that we praise God. You hear me? Oh, we're depriving our younger generation of the greatest thing that they need. I'm not as old-time worship. I'm not as saints. I don't praise God in the old-time way. I live a holy life. That's what they need to see. That's what they've got to have in order to make it through this world. Y'all hearing me? I got a right to praise Him. You ought to praise Him. Oh, can you see that crowd? I bet it had been under Roman oppression. Here's that crowd. Out of them Pharisees and Sadducees and the elders and scribes had laid such grievous burdens on them. And now here come the one that had healed their sick and raised their dead and fed their hungry and preached the gospel to them. Hallelujah. And when they seen Him, they said, "Hosanna, save us from all of this. Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord in the midst of this crooked world that we live in." I say, instead of stopping and being silent, we ought to praise Him a little more. We ought to holler a little louder. If you hold your peace and petition the King, deliverance and enlargement arise from another place. If you hold your peace in praising the King, the rocks, the stone's going to cry out. Let's look at our text and we'll be done. If you hold your peace in making a plea to the King, that's what Bartimaeus is doing, this blind beggar. He's making a plea to the King. What's his plea? "Oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy." What's he pleading for? Mercy. Reckon what we ought to plead for, preacher? I think we need to plead for mercy. I don't know justice. And I know we need grace, but we got to have mercy before we can get grace.
You're exactly right.
That's the order. What is mercy? Not getting from God what you deserve to get from God. Amen. And we need mercy. Mercy as a church. Mercy as believers. Mercy as the saints. And all sinner, that's what you need this morning. It's God's mercy. You get God's justice, you get God's wrath. Thank God, it'll consume you. Thank God, you'll go down quickly to the pit. Hear me, friend, you'll spend an eternity eternally separated from God if you don't get mercy. Oh, don't hold your peace in making a plea to the King. Somewhere Bartimaeus heard about Jesus sitting there that day outside of Jericho. His senses, though he can't see, his senses pick up that a crowd's coming through, that there's something happening. He hears the noise of the feet. He smells the dust in the air. He hears the commotion of words being spoken in that crowd. And he knows there's quite a large number of people coming by that way. He don't know exactly what it is, but he knows something's happening. You may be in service this morning and something started happening inside of you and you don't know exactly what it is. If you'll ask, you can find out this morning. If you'll investigate, it won't be long till you'll find out what it is. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless the Lord. He said, "What's happening?" Somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth passing by." He said, "That's that great prophet. That's that one that says he's a Messiah. That's the one that's been healing folks. That's the one that's been preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Oh, if that's him passing by, I bet he knew something of my blinded eyes. Woo! heavy this morning, friend. Hey, God, I don't know why you're here. I don't know if you're sitting by the highway side this morning. I'm telling you, the King's passing by. Not in person as he did that day, but in the person of the Holy Ghost. Hey, God, in that spirit, he's coming through this church, through this morning. Hey, God, I feel and sense him. And if you do this morning, and you need mercy, and you need saving, and you need help, why don't you make a plea to the King? Why don't you cry out and call on him this morning? So he started saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And then some in that crowd said, "Hold thy peace. Be quiet. Shut up. Keep silence." I guess for a minute, Bartimaeus must have stopped. He got to thinking how blind he was and how good it would be to see. He got to crying a little louder. He forgot about what the crowd charged him to do. And he cried a little louder. "Amen, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus heard him, stood still. Hallelujah. Of course, he knew who was calling him, but he said to that crowd, "Who is it?" And they said, "It's the blind beggar sitting by the wayside. It's calling for you." He said, "Well, I ain't God telling me of good cheer and tell him to come here. Matter of fact, go get him." I still believe it of some of that same crowd that said, "Shut up, hold your peace, be quiet, keep silent." It's that same crowd that had to go over and say, "He heard you and he's wanting you to come." Hallelujah. He came, throwed aside his garment as he came, and Jesus said, "What is it that you'd have me to do?" Why, don't you know Jesus knew the intents of his heart? Don't you know Jesus wanted his sight more than anything else, but he had him to ask. Hey, he knows what you need this morning. He knows the condition you're in. He knows the hurts inside of you. He knows the burden you're carrying. He knows the loads you're under. He knows if you're sick of your sin. Hey, God, but he still wants you to ask this morning. And when he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight," he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way." And he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah. And why is it important for you not to hold your peace in making a plea to the King this morning? Because Bartimaeus is on the outside of Jericho, and Jesus has done entered and passed through Jericho and started out the other way, and he ain't never coming by this way again.
Yes, sir.
That's the last trip he makes to Jericho for his death.
Yes, sir.
That's it. And if you don't make a plea for mercy this morning to the King and hold your peace, you know what? Maybe the last time the King passes by your way.
Yes.
Death may overtake you before the sun sets today. What is it, 5,000 to 7,000 people worldwide every hour? Count that up right fast. A couple of hours we've had in service this morning, or since sunrise this morning. Done been a lot of folk done went out to meet God.
Yes,
oh Lord, what about you? He's passing by this morning, but while he's passing by, while there's mercy, would you call on him? Because there is a day of no mercy. There is a day when the mercy door will be shut. There is a place where mercy is never extended in the charred walls of hell. And as death finds you, so shall a judgment. You better get mercy while you're on this side. You better call while the King's passing by. Hey, you better make your plea this morning. Mercy, mercy. Hallelujah. 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 What did that preacher say? Who was it? Duncan Campbell said when they got to that revival meeting, I mean, they're supposed to start preaching and they'd been praying for weeks and months. And when he got there, he said, "Don't you want to go by the little church where you're going to be preaching at tomorrow and just see what it's like before you go on to your place to stay?" He said, "I think that'd be good." And they went by the little church and they got in there and there's people praying. And he got up just to say a word or two to the people. And when he said a word or two, the Holy Ghost moved in such a way. As he walked down the aisle, he said, it took me a long time, several minutes, maybe an hour or so, to ever get back to the pulpit. Because the power of God had failed and people are laying in the aisles and between the pews. I ain't got in the altar praying and begging God to help. And he said, when I finally got up behind the pulpit, there's a young lady. I bet her and another group of young folks had been down at a local bar and got under such conviction, stopped by the church, and he said, she is laying behind the pulpit saying, is there any mercy for me? Oh God, is there any mercy for me? I want to tell you this morning, friend, there is mercy for you. Hey God, if you'll call, if you'll cry, if you'll make a plea to the King this morning, he'll stop. Hey God, and let you come to him this morning. Sinner, get saved. Saints, don't you think we ought to plead for mercy while the King's passing by? Don't you think we ought to cry and call for mercy this morning? Everybody stand, please. Thank God, we're going to sing a verse of song. Thank God, and the altars are open if you need to come this morning. If you're unsaved, if you're lost, thank God, come on, ask for mercy. Amen. The King's passing by. You may be saved this morning. You might need to petition the King. You might need to praise the King. You might need to plead for mercy. Don't hold your peace this morning. Thank God, don't be quiet any longer in your prayer, in your praise, and in your pleading this morning. Thank God, let's talk to the King. Sinner, you're welcome to come around this altar and ask God to save you. You're welcome to come and ask for mercy if you will this morning. Don't hold your peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't hold your peace while the dear sister plays on the piano. While some have already come to pray, there's room for you. There's time for you this morning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let us turn again unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Do you need mercy in your life? Do you need forgiveness of sin? Do you need to be saved? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? If it's not, would you plead for mercy? Would you call on the King this morning and ask him to have mercy? He's passing by, but would you ask him to stop where you're at? Oh, would you call and cry to him this morning? Come on, sinner. You're perishing. You're dying. You're outside the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside the walls of safety. Outside the ark of safety. Headed down to hell and destruction and eternal damnation. You need mercy. You need God to have mercy on your soul and save you. Or you'll forever die. You'll forever perish. You'll forever be lost. You'll be eternally separated from God. Would you not come this morning and say, Lord, I plead for mercy? What about you, child of God? Would you petition the King, or will you hold your peace? Would you praise the King, or are you going to hold your peace? Hallelujah. Everybody obey the Lord now. You can leave with a clear conscience and clean hands. Or you can leave unsatisfied and burdened. You can leave in the will of God or out of the will of God. It's up to you now. Don't hold your peace this morning. Call on the Lord. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, would you ask him to have mercy on you this morning? Oh, God help. Don't hold your peace and petition the King. Don't hold your peace in praising the King. Don't hold your peace in making a plea to the King.